Well, good morning, everyone, and a special good morning to all the moms in the house today. Now, this doesn't exclude you if you haven't given birth, because in some way, I'm sure a lot of the women in here have been a mom to someone. So happy Mother's Day. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Shauna, Pastor James's wife, and I just want to thank you for joining us today. It's funny because for a while, I was doing a lot of teaching, and getting a little comfortable with it. I don't think you ever get completely comfortable with it. And then I moved back into music, so I feel like I'm starting all over. So bear with me. I hope this message will encourage everyone in the room in some way, especially the moms. Now, I'm not a preacher, nor do I want that title. That's my husband's title. I see what he carries. And I couldn't do what he does. In fact, this morning, he's all happy, like, woohoo, and I'm, like, sitting there, like, with my mind, like, focused on this morning. And I'm like, this is what he has to experience every Sunday. So I am very grateful for him, and I respect his role. And I'm just honored to be able to share with you today. You know, it's just such a big responsibility to share God's word, because I want to communicate it to you in a way that it's true, first off. I don't Amen. Well, believe it or not, I started playing basketball at a very young age. I absolutely loved the game, played anytime I could. I was super passionate about it. In the eighth grade, I get to do a little bit of what my husband does, you know, share his track stories and stuff. In the eighth grade, our junior high team actually won third place in the state. So now, a few years later, I'm in high school. I tried out for the varsity team, but I didn't make it. And at that time, they weren't concerned about hurting your feelings. You either made the team or you didn't. So I was so disappointed, and I remember the coach telling me that there were a few things I needed to work on, and then to come back and try out again. So I worked really hard. Then I went to tryouts, and I made the varsity team. But after a while, the drive went away. Somehow, I started to lose the passion I had for the game, and I ended up quitting my senior year. After that, I just slowly spiraled and started to quit a lot of things in my life. Now, I know I was young, and we don't always make the best of decisions when we're young, but this followed me into my young adult years. So the decisions we make when we're young people, they do follow us. And then, of course, the thoughts came, you're a quitter, you'll never be able to finish anything. So for a lot of years, I lived my life with no passion for anything. I had lost my focus, and I felt like I had no purpose. I'm sure some of you in here today can relate, especially moms, because we sacrifice so much at times for our kids, we can feel like we lose ourselves. Now, I'm going to share how Jesus changed all that for me. This isn't a Shauna story, but it's a story of what God has taken in my life and transformed it. But I also want to talk about what happens when we have given our lives to Jesus. Somehow we lose our passion, our focus, and our purpose. Now, I looked up the word passion, and the meaning is the driving force that encourages you to pursue your interests and goals with energy and dedication. So whatever we put in front of the word passion, that's going to be our driving force. So as a young teenage girl, Jesus definitely was not my driving force. And if Christ is not the driving force in our lives, eventually we will lose our energy and dedication and we will want to quit. I have seen many Christians over the years quit following Jesus. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow fade. That is why the Bible urges us to live with zeal and passion for God, emphasizing the importance of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Moses in Deuteronomy is reminding the Israelites that the younger generation before and the younger generation before that they're about to enter the promised land. And he didn't want them to forget what God had done for them. God had rescued them from slavery. He'd rescued them from the Egyptians. They had seen miracle after miracle. I mean, they had seen a sea split in half. They had seen God's provision over and over again, yet they would regress to their slavery mindset instead of the freedom that God was offering them. And this can happen to us as believers. God works in our lives. He does miracle after miracle. And then we forget at times what he's brought us out of. And we start to put a bunch of things in front of him. Here's what Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children, right? Don't we have to repeat things again and again to our children? Talk about them when you are at home. In other words, don't leave Jesus out of your homes. Talk about them when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. When you get to the promised land and life is good, don't forget what the Lord has done for you. Matthew says it like this in chapter 22, 37 through 40. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. The second is, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this passage emphasizes the importance of loving God and loving others as we love ourselves. So what happens to start to cause this slow fade in us where we quit? Well, we start to forget about what God has done in our lives, just like the Israelites did. We slowly allow other things to become our driving force, not necessarily bad things, but other things. And we stop loving ourselves, and we definitely don't have any time for our neighbors. After all, we're busy. So this is what happened to me. It wasn't about basketball. It was about not having Jesus as my driving force and then allowing all the negative thoughts and the world to start to begin to define who I was, which brings me to my first point. When Jesus isn't our driving force, we will lose the passion we need to not quit. Now, if you're a mom in here today and your driving force should be in Jesus, and then he gives you the energy and dedication you need to be a great mom. So often I see moms who their driving force is their kids or their husbands or vice versa, and then the kids leave home and they fall apart because their purpose is in their kids instead of Jesus. So if our kids are doing good, yay. If our kids are doing bad, oh, and our driving force is in doing instead of being in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. So moms who are in here today, in the presence of Jesus is where we need to be. Because then you will understand that our kids are a gift from God. They were not these little creatures given to us to control. I had to learn that the hard way. He has blessed us with them. And our job is to show them that Jesus is the most important thing in their life. So hopefully they will follow this in their own lives. That is in the good and bad times. We don't forget God. And if we try to protect our kids from the bad things, we're not helping them. we're hurting them because bad things are going to come. When I surrendered my life to Jesus and I began to put him first, my passion was rekindled and I began to learn how to finish things. And finishing things is so important for us in our walk of faith. By God's grace, I went back to school and got my GED. Then I started taking college courses and graduated with my degree at the age of 57. Now, this might not mean much to you, but to me, finishing was a huge accomplishment. Finishing that degree was a huge accomplishment for me. It was more than a certificate. It was God taking this person that thought they couldn't finish anything and helping me finish. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." I was weighted down by the lies of the enemy telling me I would never finish anything, and I think the enemy hits a lot of people in this area. But I started to see myself through the lens of Christ and who he says I am. I am not a quitter. I am a child of God, the Most High God, and so are you if you have put your trust in Jesus. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So if God is on our side, there is nothing that we can't do. Moms, God is on your side. So the only thing that can work against you is what you believe about yourself. You have to be intentional about learning who you are as a child of God, praying and talking to him, not just reading the word, but studying the word. This year, God really spoke to me that, "Shauna, you need to study again," because I've been reading, and I've gone through phases where I read and I study. Reading and studying God's word, surrounding yourself with the right people. I don't retain things like my husband does. I just don't have that type of mind. But I continue to read and study his word, and I know it's hidden in my heart. Psalms 118:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, life is still hard at times, but through the hard times, we realize who and what our driving force is. And church one day a week won't cut it. It has to be more than that. Which takes me to my second point. The second thing that happens and can cause us to want to quit is we lose our focus. When we don't have the proper driving force in our lives, it's easy to take our eyes off Jesus. Our lens becomes blurry. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we drop our heads and start to live in a way that this world is all there is. And our faith starts to weaken. We live in the narrative of the here and now instead of with the understanding that this is not our home. We are just passing through. But what else happens? We lose our focus. We lose sight of the finish line. We quit too soon. I've seen so many Christians quit too soon. There's a blessing right here. And they quit right here. Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The goal is to finish. And the prize is when we rest in the arms of Jesus. See, the enemy wants us to get overwhelmed and frustrated and caught up in this world thinking that this is all there is. And when we're caught up in this world and we're thinking that this is all there is, it's very easy to start to look inward. And when we start to look inward, it's very easy to pick people apart. And look what Paul says when he's writing to the church in 1 Corinthians 7:31. "Those who use the things of this world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away." 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you." So if Jesus is not our driving force and we lose our focus, we lose sight of the finish line. And it becomes very easy to quit. Which takes me to my third point. The third thing that can happen is we lose our purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity and not for disaster. Plans to give you a hope and a future." This verse emphasizes that God has a specific positive purpose and plan for each individual. And his intention is to bring about good and hope, not harm or destruction. It offers comfort and assurance that God is actively working for our well-being, even in the challenging times. In the challenging times, we still have hope because we are running toward the goal. See, our purpose on this earth is to finish strong, not to quit, until we cross over into the arms of Jesus. You know, I talk to my daughter all the time, and I say to her, and hear me, don't take it personal. I say, these year-round sports are a blessing, but a curse. Because they have so many families out of church on Sunday. And I heard a lady say that she put her daughter or son in year-round sports, and that she told the coach, we're going to play, we'll play all the games, he'll be at all the practices, but we will not attend tournaments on Sunday because we go to church. And that is something that I do believe the enemy has broken down so that it's not modeled in the home, so then the kids aren't seeing it. And then it's like a domino effect. But we don't need to go to church on Sunday. Well, you don't need to go to church on Sunday. But you miss out on what God wants to speak to you on that day. You miss out on encouragement. You miss out on fellowship. God says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren for a reason. It's not law. We don't have to. We should want to come to church. And the enemy will put a lot of things in our lives that are not necessarily bad, but they distract us from why we're really here. Moms, you're here. Your purpose is not just to be a mom. Not that that's not awesome and great, but our purpose here is to follow Jesus and lead as many people to him as possible until we cross over to the other side. And if we're so busy doing a bunch of good things that we don't even see our neighbors, that is never where the Lord wants us to live. I have a good friend right now that is super close to finishing her race here on earth. And what I can say about her life is she never quit. What a great testimony and role model she has been. And her husband followed suit, and I know her children and grandchildren will too. The most important thing that we can do for our grandchildren, for our children, is finish the race with passion, focus, and purpose. The most important thing that we can do is finish the race. I've got to tell you, and don't throw rocks at me, I'm not fond of the word retire. Because I don't see Jesus or the disciples ever retiring. So I respect that word, but I know it's not in my vocabulary. I will not retire from doing the things of God until he calls me home. Where else will I go? What else is there to do? It's the most important thing that we have to share with people around us. And I absolutely love supporting my grandkids and watching their activities, but that's not what I want them to remember me by or remember about me. I want them to remember that I followed Jesus. I finished the race faithfully. No matter how hard things God at times. And there's been things that have gotten hard. We've gone through some very hard challenges. Why? Because the devil wanted to knock us off course. He doesn't want us to finish the race. Sometimes in this position, you feel alone because there's so much pressure on it. And there's so many people that are looking at you and expecting you to do all these things. They're not even doing them themselves. Sorry. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Yeah, I was reading through my notes and I looked at the clock and I'm like, boy, you got to talk a little bit or you're going to finish like Richard did. 20 minutes. It was a great message, though. They know I'm not perfect. My grandkids know I'm not perfect. This isn't about being perfect. It's about keeping Jesus as our driving force so we don't lose sight of the finish line. And our purpose. So many people struggle with not knowing their purpose. Even the professional athletes that do well and they have a passion for the sport, they don't know their purpose if Christ is not their driving force. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Don't quit. And I don't know why the Lord gave me this message. It was so strong in my mind to encourage people not to quit. Take the necessary steps to keep Jesus your driving force through the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean he doesn't allow us to have fun and enjoy life. Like, we love playing pickleball. Probably should have been never introduced to us because we love it that much. But even that's an opportunity to share Jesus, which I know many of you do in here. But we're not supposed to conform to the world. We're supposed to look different. We're not supposed to look like everybody else. And as a follower of Christ, you're going to be miserable if you try to fit in because you've been set apart. We are not to look like the world. We are supposed to look different than the world. Because if we look the same, what hope do we have to offer? Do you know what would happen to this world if Christians started living out their purpose passionately? I mean, we struggle just to sing songs to him. Sorry. Like, we come in and we have to push ourselves to praise and worship our Creator. Oh my gosh, they might look at me. Oh my gosh. I can't. He's our Creator. And the thing is, folks, we're going to be praising and worshiping him in heaven, so we may as well practice now, right? So get those thoughts out of your mind when you come in here. Be passionate about Jesus. Be passionate about worshiping him and praising him because he's brought you into the promised land. You are no longer a slave to sin. You've been set apart. Your old has gone. The new has come. You're a brand new person in Christ. He's the giver and taker of our lives. He can remove my breath anytime he wants, and then I'm going to stand before him. And let me tell you, I'm not going to be able to blame old Jenny because I got mad and quit. I can't blame Jenny if she hurt my feelings and I'm just not going to come back to church anymore and blah. That's not going to cut it. Jesus tells me to forgive. Forgive as he has forgiven me. And so people, and we talked about this in a Bible study this week, people cannot be our focus. Because if people are our focus, even a pastor or his pastor's wife, you'll quit because your eyes were never supposed to be on us. Our eyes are supposed to be on the cross and what Jesus has done for us. And we have to be reminded constantly to not lose sight of the goal, to not lose sight of the prize that is awaiting us. And I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about an emotional Christian where you're up and down. You feel good, you feel bad. You feel okay, you feel all right. No. Because emotions are up and down. Daily, oh, I felt the goosebumps today, so God is good. Over here, I'm in the desert. I don't feel God, so I'm just going to fill my life up with things I can see and feel. That's not how it works. We have to know he's with us in the desert, and we have to know he's with us in the good time, when we're feeling his presence, when we know he's with us. He will help us finish strong. But he needs to be in the proper place in our lives. I haven't done this perfectly my whole life. There's things that come in and out. Ministry can take a seat above Jesus at times. And then guess what? You're worn out, you're tired, because you're doing everything in your own strength. And you start to lose your passion, because he's not our driving force. Here's a quote by an unknown. It says, the finish line is only the beginning of our next race. So if you think this is all there is, it's not. So if we get caught up in the here and now, even as parents, as mothering, we're going to teach our kids that this is all there is. And they're going to look to the world to fill that void in their life. When the world can't, it has to be Jesus. The passion that God births in us will take us to the finish line. 1 Peter 1:23 says it like this, for you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living word of God. I loved being a mom to my kids when they were younger. It was the best thing. But even then, my identity could not be caught up in mothering my kids. My identity cannot even be caught up in being a wife to Pastor James. My identity has to be in Christ and who he says I am. Because if you're putting that in relationships, relationships come and go. Our kids love us one day, challenge us the next. And who I am can't be attached to whether my kids are doing good or not. And I know I said that earlier, but I'm going to repeat it, because so often as moms, we almost become the control freak, and we think if we don't smother them, it's not mothering, it's smothering, and don't let them make any bad decisions, well, then we're kind of putting ourselves in the place of God in their lives. And we were never supposed to be that. And then they look to us instead of Jesus when they need to be looking to Jesus in their lives. So today, as I kind of earlyly begin to close, the first question I'm going to ask you is, of course, have you been born again? Have you said yes to Jesus? If you haven't, today's your day. He changed my life. So we don't get up here and teach, and that's why I struggle to get up here, because it's such powerful information that we share up on this platform. And I never want to take that lightly, and I never want to misuse God's word, but This is the best decision you would ever make in your whole life, to say yes to Jesus. He changed my life. Like, I was in a dark place. Dark place. And that's the thing. He's in a dark place, you know, living for the devil. No peace, no joy, no purpose. I came to Christ excited. And do you know that there were some, and I would say religious Christians, that were kind of annoyed? Why is that? Because we lose our passion. Just because you serve God for a lot of years doesn't mean you're passionate about Jesus. We can lose that. And if we're not excited, that people are excited about just finding Christ, and if we're not excited about people finding Christ, better check our passion gauge. Because that's why we're here. We're not just here to come take up a seat on Sunday. We're here to grab this information from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, to birth into us, to take it out into the world. And let me tell you, the most miserable place you'll be is if you're living for yourself. If you don't see other people when you walk out these doors, if you go home and you isolate, you're missing out. You will not live in the purpose that God has called you to as a believer, as a follower of Christ. Because we were called to shine bright for Jesus. So, I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to have everyone, actually, I'm going to say this. So, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus today. Second thing is, what is your driving force? Do you still wake up passionate about Jesus in your life? Or is the first thing that comes to your mind when you wake up, sorry, I have to battle this pickleball. I have to take that thought and sit it down for a minute, because I'm a very competitive person and I love sports, and so I have to take that moment. But whatever you wake up, money? First thing you wake up, do you have money on your mind? First thing you wake up, do you have all the worries of the world on your mind? What is your driving force? Or who is your driving force? Your spouse was never meant to be your driving force. You're meant to complement and help one another. How is your vision right now? Is it blurry? Do you think if you come to church on Sunday, you've done your duty and you can go out the rest of the week and just live your life? That's blurry vision. And are you walking with purpose? So I'm going to have everybody bow their heads right now. There was a song, and they kind of overplayed it, but I used it in this part of my message. And it says, the song says, Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel of my life. I can't do this without you. So often we try to jump in that seat with him and take control of that steering wheel. And he's saying, no, let me drive your life. Let me be that driving force in your life so that you don't quit too soon, so that you don't quit and that you're able to reach the finish line and stand in the presence of God with no excuses as to why you didn't serve him here. Well, that friend of mine She abandoned me. Say that to Jesus. He was abandoned more than anybody else. But that pastor just doesn't preach like I think he needs to preach. So I'm just going to stop going to church. We have to understand that when we're running towards a goal, when we're running towards the prize, there's going to be things that will come into our life to trip us up, to get us off course. Because the devil does not want us to finish strong. So today, as we have our heads bowed, if you're in here and you just have never said yes to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. Jesus, today I am surrendering my life to you. I admit that I have been doing life on my own, and I invite you to come into my heart today. I admit that I have been living my life without you, but today I want to live my life with you. I believe you died for all my sins and rose from the grave on the third day. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. I'm just going to encourage you to tell somebody before you leave, but we're not done. We're not done. Let's bow our heads again. If you're in here today and you would say that your passion has been on the wrong thing, your driving force has not been Jesus, you've been caught up in worry and thoughts, or maybe you have money as your driving force, or maybe you have put things above Jesus, and you're not seeing things clearly, and you've lost your purpose, I'm going to pray this prayer. And I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, today I ask that you rekindle my passion for you. Clear up the blurriness and give me a new lens to see the finish line clearly. And help me walk in the fullness of my purpose until I cross over to the next race. I want to finish strong in the arm of the true champion. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I'm going to have you sit here for just a minute because I'm going to have Christy just play the first part of this song. And also, if there's a few people of our leaders that can come up, I'm going to give you a minute for prayer because I don't want you to leave here today. If there's just something in you where you really want to press through, I want somebody to be able to pray with you. So if my husband or somebody else could come up. And we're just going to do this for just a minute because we have a little time. Because I quit a little early. But I just want to say that, you know, when my parents quit following Jesus and I was a young person, it's not that they didn't. He never left them. I want to make sure I clarify that. But we have free will. And they went through a hard time in their life, and they didn't press through. They quit. And I know that that was what helped me get that habit in my mind, that even God couldn't help me finish. Because he let them down. Just going to let me down too. The most important thing that we can do is not quit. I don't care if you're crawling, don't quit. I've been there. I've been face down in front of God. Just one small step at a time. Saying this is so hard. But God, don't let me quit. Don't let me quit, because this is my purpose. This is why I was created. So we're going to play this song and just take a few minutes. Chrissy's got it back there. I got to look on my phone. I gave it to her. Hold on. Well, it's such a good song, too. See if I can find it. No. I'm not even going to try to sing it. I want Jesus, Bethel. Just close your eyes and listen to the first part of the words of this song. It's so powerful. And like I said, the thing about the quitting is that it's not just a sport that we can quit. We can want to quit our marriage. There's so many things in life that can domino from quitting following Jesus. Can you turn it up a little, please? To let them keep praying. And I just want to say again, happy Mother's Day. Moms, when life feels overwhelming and hard, don't quit. And everybody else in here, don't quit. Finish the race strong. God bless you and have a wonderful day.